There's not the thought of permanency. There's the thought that I am moving forward to someplace else. So though Abram, and you might say, Brother Tony, he came from the Ur of the Chaldees, God said, I'm going to bring you into the land of promise, and you're talking to me about the fact that he is a pilgrim, I thought he's at home. Oh no. He is not satisfied, should I use that language, with the land, the material land of promise. We learn in the book of Hebrews that he does what? He's a man that does what? He was looking for a city that has, say it, foundations whose builder and maker is God. So though God brought him into the land of Canaan, Abraham's perspective was still heavenly. He says here that he goes up into a mountain. And I want us to think about this. You know, we are on a mountain. And there's some mountains that are much higher than the Mountain View Mountain that men spend years trying to climb. And I can only imagine, you know, there's a commercial by Citibank where there's people that climb a mountain and they reach this very pinnacle. And it's only just a slab of stone that this individual can stand on. And as the camera pans around, you see nothing but an abyss below them. But what a thrill it must have been to climb to the apex of that mountain ridge. To be on that plateau. Above everything that is below. And young people, this is where God wants you and I to dwell. He wants you and I to go from the plains of Moreh. He wants us to go up into the mountain top. He wants us to be away from the influences of men and the world below. You think of the fact that in the Gospels, the Lord took a few of his own up into a mountain. What a wonderful time of communion and fellowship. During the break this afternoon, Brother Mark and I were sitting by the side of the basketball court. You see, that's what you do when you're old now. You don't play, we sit and watch. But we were talking about the fact that the influences of the world are so great upon us and upon young people. That all of its character, its policies, its standards, they creep in eventually upon the minds of believers. And you know, I thought of this lead in here that Abram, a pilgrim, went into a high mountain. And what does he do there? Well, we spoke about the fact that what is one of the elements that are missing in the life of the believer today is the ability to slow down. The ability to stop. The ability to meditate upon none other but the Lord Jesus. You see, as wonderful as the internet is, our cell phones and our iPhones and iPads and everything, you know what it does? It robs us of being able to stop and to meditate. Meditate upon, oh, how much we love the Lord Jesus. To consider what he has done for us. To think of the blessings that we have come into and the blessings that we are going to come into. To think of how God is going to bring his son into the great appearing when he shall be displayed to this wondering world. But Abram goes into the mountain. And it says, it was a mountain on the east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent. You see, the pilgrim wants to be in an elevated place. You know, it is where you are from a human standpoint, physically closer to heaven. It is where you can shut out, as I've said, all of the influences, the noise, the standards of the world. And he pitches his tent. You know, the pitching of the tent and the altar are seen time and time again in the Old Testament. It should remind us, young people, that we cannot have an altar if we don't have the tent pitched. You see, you could have a tent walking around with it, but the tent needs to be pitched. And therefore, then you can move on to the thought of the altar. Some of you are young. Some of you have just recently been married. Some others contemplating marriage. Here is a wonderful principle, that it's the pitching of the tent, a principle, if you would, of the home. And there in the home, the altar. Just something for you to consider. He pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. This altar, young people, is the altar of decision. Bethel, house of God. Now, you know, we don't come into the knowledge of this until later on in the life of Jacob, right? But because we have that knowledge and information, we know we can reach back here and we can give it its proper title and appreciation. It is the house of God. It is where God dwells. And it's where he wants you and I to dwell, in the house of God. Oh, the house of God for us today is the assembly, who is the habitation of God through the Spirit. It is where you and I are, where believers are, where we fellowship, where we receive nourishment, encouragement, correction. It is the place, dear young ones, that God is, that his presence rests. Yes. And is there any other place that you and I would want to be than in the presence of the Lord? I want to take this sidebar to say that one of the things that I've noticed in these last days is that we don't have a sense of the presence of the Lord in the midst of the saints when we gather together. The Lord says, "For where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them." So when we come together on the first day of the week to break bread and to celebrate the Lord's Supper, he is there. Luke 22 verse 19, "When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him." So you know what? We shouldn't be running in to the meeting late. We should not, in that meeting, be on our cell phones unless you are using it to sing a hymn or to read the scriptures. We shouldn't be occupied with anything else. School books, this, chitter-chatter on this. You know why? Because the Lord is in the midst of us. And our eyes and our ears should be upon him. When we come together for prayer and ministry and the reading of his word, he is likewise there in the midst. You see, Abram had a sense of the presence of God. And he built an altar of appreciation for what God had done for him, that God had called him alone. And now here, the altar of decision. He's in this mountain, and yet Bethel is before him on the west. And there is Ai that is on the east. He is looking toward Bethel, and behind him is Ai. Bethel, the house of God, the presence of God. And there is Ai, which means what? A ruin, a heap of ruin. It reminds us of the judgment of God upon the things of this world. And no, where is Abram? It is very interesting when we think about the posture of the characters that the Spirit of God has left for us. Abram is neither at Bethel, nor at Ai.